Hello, lovelies. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're all doing well. I took a little break from doing the podcast because I was on vacation. I went to Branson, Missouri with a couple friends and family, and it was very interesting. I've never been to that part of the United States before, so it was very different for sure. But the part that we went to was very touristy. Lots of restaurants, lots of shows, lots of tourist attractions, you know, like Ripley's Believe It or Not, or like the Titanic Museum, you know, things like that. But Branson, Missouri was really cool. There was a lot of interesting shows down there. Most notable one, I guess, would have to have been the Haygoods. They were very good performers, and normally I don't like country, western, bluegrass music, but they added a modern twist to it, which was really nice, and their performance was just amazing. One of the members of the group, like, actually pulled out a huge harp and was just plucking and playing it so beautifully, and I've never seen a harp in a live show before, so that was very, very fun to watch and very beautiful to listen to, especially, when they were doing the modern, what would you call it? I guess remixes on modern songs, on classical instruments like the fiddle and the harp and the banjo and things like that. So yeah, it was very good. Like, highly recommend that show, The Haygoods. And Branson, Missouri was also very, I wouldn't say conservative because that's not the right word, but they were very patriotic people. Like, almost anywhere you went, they would play the national anthem, they would honor the veterans, and they would always include some sort of gospel song in any of the shows that you went to. Even when we went to the local theme park over there for the day, before they opened, they played the national anthem, and it's, I wouldn't say refreshing, but it was kind of nice to see that there are still very patriotic people in this country, even through all the bad stuff that's going on. It's nice to kind of see that these establishments are looking past the bad and kind of just focusing on what good is left in the United States, which I think was really cool. But yeah, Branson, Missouri, very interesting, lots of good shows. Go there though if you're older and have money, because it is a little expensive. But if you're older, you can get timeshare packages and get discounts on tickets, which is what we did with our older family members. So if you're gonna go with some older people, or go when you're older. Let's see, in other news, Soul Town Road came out, the remix of Old Town Road with Lil Nas X and BTS's RM, and I just have to say, I love it. Kim Namjoon owns my heart with this remix. He's owned my heart before, but this remix just kind of solidifies that fact. He was great, and I think him and Lil Nas X sounded really good on the remix. And I know a lot of people are tired of the remixes from Lil Nas X. It's like, oh, that's all you're making is remixes, man. Like, get some new stuff out there. But I enjoyed this one, specifically. Especially in light of Lil Nas's ex lawsuit. Like, we're not going to talk about that here, but he's getting sued right now. But I feel that a lot of people are going to be supporting him more, especially the K-pop community, with this remix that came out. And plus, Namjoon sings. And honestly, hashtag let Kim Namjoon sing more, 2019/2020. He needs to sing more. He has a great voice. Like, it's like J-Hope. He has that, like, great singing voice, but Big Hit doesn't let them sing as much as, personally, I would like. Like, please, let the rappers sing. They actually sound great. That's one of the reasons why Outro Her on BTS's Love Yourself, Her album, is my favorite song, because the rap line does sing in the chorus, and I appreciate it so, 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 so much. Like, please, let Kim Namjoon sing. Let Jung Hoseok sing. Let Min Yoongi sing! Like, they sound great. And the remix was amazing. I downloaded it. I'm not ashamed to say that. it's so good. So, so, so good. Anyways. And the last thing A BTS World update. So while I was on vacation, I made some steady progress on BTS World, and I did make an episode on it, episode 2 of the podcast series, if you want to listen to that first before you continue on with this episode. You don't have to, but you could. It would mean the world to me. But right now, I am at level 36 in BTS World. I have 4 5-star cards and 24 star cards, almost all of them maxed out at the highest level, 50. And I am still stuck on the main story, the 6-4 level, because I don't have the right cards with the right stats, even when they're all leveled up to level 50 on both 4 and 5 stars. So that's great. It's frustrating because I have to keep constantly drawing the cards to try and get the ones with the high stats that I need, but it's getting very rare nowadays to get those cards, so I'm just kind of stuck on 6-4. Hopefully we'll get out of that rut soon. And the card distribution is not even at all. To solidify this fact, here are the levels that I'm at with the side stories. With RM, I'm at level 4-9. Pretty far in. VM at 4-2, again, pretty far. Jin, 3-12. I'm waiting to get his affinity level to 15 so I can continue his story. I'm stuck with that. Jimin, the same way, 3-12, stuck, trying to get him to progress on. Suga, I'm at 3-1, just got onto his third level. J-Hope, I'm stuck at 2-10, and Jungkook, I'm stuck at 2-8, because I don't get a lot of J-Hope or Jungkook cards. Which is fantastic. Please note my sarcasm here. It is frustrating as hell that I cannot get these member cards, because I want to know more about their stories. Their side stories, at least. And don't get me wrong, I love RM's story very much. I love the detective aspect. I love the mystery. I love the intensity and danger of it. But I really want to know more about the other member side stories, because they also have interesting plot lines. So yeah, that's my BTS World update on where I'm at, and now we can get on to our main topic today, which is K-pop and Korean enlistment. So I'm going to give a little background about the Korean enlistment process for those that don't know what it is. So in South Korea, men from ages 18 to 28 and or 35, I have read different things about what the age goes to. I read on a UC San Diego post for their international students that the international students that still have Korean citizenship can postpone because of studies up until 35. I do not know if this is true. However, from the Korean Legislation Research Institute, it does say that it is mandatory for 2 years mandatory military service. And of course, the time of service deviates between branch, like whatever branch you go into. For example, like, it's 21 months for the Army and the Marines in South Korea, 23 months for the Navy, and then 24 months for the Air Force. And I do not believe this is including the boot camp / basic training type situation, but after the fact. And from what I've read, their boot camp usually goes between 5 to 8 weeks, depending on what branch of service that the man decides to go into. This has been going on since after the Korean War ended. Now, it's kind of odd because from the research that I found, the Korean War ended in 1953, but the enlistment supposedly, don't take my word for it, supposedly, according to this research institute, it wasn't until 1957 when the mandatory conscription started. Some say it was due to national security from North Korea when it was written into the constitution after the Korean War ended. And of course, others say it's for to keep the Korean tradition alive and going on. Whatever the reason, it's there. So all the men have to sign up for it when they're 18, and then when they're 19 or 20, they undergo an exam to make sure they're eligible. Just like in the United States military, if you are mentally unable to serve with mental conditions, or if you have physical anomalies that prevent you from serving, you do not have to go into the military. However, in Korea, they will make you do other service in public services or government or something like that. So you still do your time, but it's not in the military. It's through another public service. The South Korean law does give exemptions for people to not go into the military. One of the exemptions is athletes who have earned Olympic medals or who have placed first in the Asian Games. And I found an article from Washington Post that described this situation in an athlete, that South Koreans had rallied around soccer star, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Son Heung-min, and the rest of the South Korean national team, asking in a petition for the government to exempt them from mandatory military service because they had won first as a team in the Asian Games. And there are exemptions for classic music artists, such as violinists, pianists, and ballet dancers, as the highest examples. Classic arts, but no K-pop artists, no directors or actors, and this source comes from The Guardian, which I find very interesting because it seems, even though that these K-pop stars, directors and actors, even though they bring in more profit into the country, the exemptions are for the classic arts, which may just be rooted in Korea's national tradition, or it could be for another reason. I couldn't find the reason why. It's only classic arts, like violinists, pianists, and ballet dancers, but not more quote unquote modern day pop people. In Korea, there are no exemptions for religious or political purposes from mandatory conscription enlistment. There's no conscientious objection allowed, and this has been another huge thing that's been going on in Korea with Jehovah's Witnesses. It, most specifically, there's lots of articles about this. However, not the topic we're going into today with K-pop stars and enlistment. But if you're interested in it, there's lots of articles on it if you want to know more about why they do not do exemptions for religious or political purposes in Korea. Dual citizens is another thing. Dual citizens must choose their nationality before March 31st of their 18th birthday. And if they revoke their Korean citizenship, their service, they don't have to do mandatory service. But if they choose to keep their Korean citizenship, then they will have to serve at a later time between the ages of 18 to 28/35. I'm still confused on which date it actually ends at. But you get the gist. They still have to serve if they choose Korean as their main citizenship. So like Mark from NCT, he chose his Korean citizenship even though he was born in the United States. So he will have to serve eventually. And there has been lots of draft evasion for Korean men. According to a 2017 report by the Military Manpower Administration, the most common evasion tactic was extreme weight loss or gain in Korean men to try and avoid going into the military, which is 37% of the people who try to evade the draft. Then this is followed by fabrication of mental illness, which is 23.7%, and deliberate full body tattoos, which is 20.3% of people to avoid evasion of the military draft. Which I find fascinating actually, because in the United States military, at least from what I know, from serving and being in it, extreme weight loss or gain is something, of course, we won't let you in if you're overweight. However, if you lose the weight or if you gain the weight back, you're still allowed in. So I don't know if these Korean men have to constantly report in to show that, hey, I still am overweight or I'm still very underweight, even though I'm like trying to go in. So I don't know if they have to do like a yearly inspection to make sure that they keep that up and to make sure that they're still not qualified, or if they just do it once or twice in the span of the age range that you have to go in, and then they'll say, like, oh, well, nothing's working, so I guess you're just gonna have to do public service instead. Of course, fabrication of mental illness, something very common that people would do, like We don't want no crazies. I mean, I'm just saying that from a military perspective. We don't want anyone that has any sort of mental illness. Like, for me, I had to lie about having depressive thoughts and anxiety, because they don't care if you have it while you're in the military, if you gain it from PTSD or from overseas service, things like that. They don't care. They will put you on meds after the fact, and they will take care of you, and you'll still be in. But if you're trying to get in and you already have it, they will not let you go in the military. And the same situation goes for full body tattoos. Now, the United States military is getting better about tattoos. I know from the Army standard, as of today, as long as it can be covered by your uniform, then it's allowed. And it's not obscene in language, sexual content, drug, gang violence, things like that. It's allowed. No face tattoos, nothing on your hands, nothing on your wrists, unless it can be covered. And if you do something like behind the ear, it has to be covered at least by like a quarter, like the currency of quarter. If it can be covered by a quarter, then it's allowed, like, behind the ear. But nothing on the neck, nothing on the face. So, full body tattoos, understandable. Like, we don't allow that. They wouldn't allow that. Especially in Korea with their very conservative view on tattoos. I know they are getting better about it, but knowing what most people thought about it in the past, it makes sense that the full body tattoos would not be allowed to go in. And of course, there's been lots of scandals about wealthy families giving birth to their sons abroad in the United States or in Europe or things like that, so that they can gain dual citizenship and not have to do their military service if they choose not to. But yeah, so that's some background on Korean enlistment. So what does this mean for K-pop stars? So since K-pop stars are not in the classical music category to avoid military service, they do have to serve. And this poses the question on why don't all groups, like group members, enlist at the same time? Why not just get it all done and over with? Because if I was an entertainment company, I would wait until all of the members of a group are of age, and then I would just send them all at the same time. Just let them go. Wait the 2 years, and then let them come back. Because to me, it just seems like having members leave at different varied points in time rather than just send them all in one go is kind of hard for promotions, and it's hard to keep the fan base alive. Like, take Super Junior, for example. So Super Junior was very big, and in 2011, they started going through enlistment, and I believe Heechul started in 2011, and then all the other members followed suit. It took 8 years for all the members to be back. So from 2011 to the beginning of 2019, it took that long until all the members actually came back. And during these enlistment times, the members that stayed performed in smaller groups with rotating members, with subunits, and some members even left due to whatever reasons that they wanted to leave. And even though that they still performed as smaller groups with rotating members, the fans, especially in Super Junior, I know, expressed severe loss in some members without the group, without them in the group. And I think that yes, you should give the idols the right to choose when they want to do their military conscription. However, in a business standpoint, it just doesn't seem wise to have a rotating member group for 8 years while making the fans miss certain members in each group, saying that the group's not whole, losing faith in the group. To me, that just doesn't make sense. So, honestly, like, just get it done and over with. Like, recently, EXO's D.O. just went into the military following oldest member Schumann, because he had to go and do his conscription now. He was 30. Like, it's time to go, Schumann. Go do your conscription. Go do your military service. And Dio followed after. And a lot of fans were very upset by this. Like, a lot of people were like, well, why did he go now? Like, why didn't he wait? Like, what's going on with Kyung-soo? Like, why is he doing this? And to that I say, it makes sense. Like, I don't blame him for getting it done and over with early. Because if you get it done and over with early, you come back when you're not in your 30s and you're still young and you can still perform. Like, when you come back at that young age and you still retain that youth. So to me, the EXO Dio enlistment early story is like, I understand it. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, I miss him from EXO's performances, and when they release their new album in the fall slash winter, it will suck to have both Schumann and Dio gone from the album. They're both very strong vocalists, and I will miss their voices. However, I understand why he went early. Like, just get it done and over with, man. And then come back to the group, still young, still youthful, still ready to perform, and not, don't mind me saying this, but not older and more decrepit like Super Junior. Because Super Junior, all their members are in their 30s, some going up to their 40s now. And, like, they're now still trying to perform as a full group, but it's like, you missed your high chance, because they released some of their biggest songs in 2011. Hang on. Let me pull this up real quick. Okay, so I pulled up Super Junior's timeline of when they released certain things. So in 2008, Sorry Sorry got released, and we all know what Sorry Sorry is. It was an instant hit, collected 10 number one awards for 10 consecutive weeks in Korea, huge song. 2008. They got their big break with that. Then in 2010, 2011, they released more, got international recognition. Very big, very huge. And then 2011, Mr. Simple comes out, which another huge hit. But then Heechul leaves and goes to do his military service, which then starts the decline of Super Junior. Like, Sexy Free and Single came out in 2012 in July. Great. Won awards for that. But then as time went on, their songs kind of started to fall in views, at least. Like, 2014, Mamacita came out, 2015, Devil, 2017 even was kind of a sad decline. Like, oh, excuse me. They lost their fame once the enlistment started. But think of this. If they all went in 2011, because they were all old enough by then to all go. If they all went in 2011, then came back in 2013, then released all these songs, I feel like Super Junior would honestly have a bigger impact in the K-pop industry today. Because they wouldn't have lost all their fans with the steady switching out of members. They wouldn't be confused and like, oh, who's this? Like, who's that? With new fans coming in, it's like, oh, I don't know this member. Like, who is this person? They shouldn't be in this group, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like if they did it in a consecutive 2-year period and then came back and released what they did, then I feel like Super Junior would be more in the spotlight of today's K-pop community. Like, that's just my opinion. And I feel the same way with EXO, because now that two members are gone, we're down to six. Lay's off doing his thing in China. Good for him, pop off man. But now that we have two members gone, we can already start to see the fans that are leaving because these two people are gone. And of course, there's always going to be loyal EXOLs that will stay and wait until they all come back. However, me personally, I don't want to wait 8 years until they all come back to get another full EXO album. Like, that's not what I want as a fan, is to wait. But I just feel like, I'm just saying, if they all just get it done and over with and get it out the way, then I feel like K-pop groups, at least the male ones, would be more successful. And just a side note, females do not have to go into military conscription. They're allowed to volunteer and to go into the military and do their time, but they don't have to. So, that's that. But, this brings me to my next question. Should BTS be exempted from military service? And this has been a highly regarded debate in the K-pop community. There's tons of articles on it about if BTS should be exempted. because BTS brings in a substantial amount of income into the country. This was posted by the New York Times. They bring in $3.6 billion a year to South Korea, and they've increased tourism rates, which brings in more income to South Korea. So a lot of people, because of this, are like, well, they should be exempted because they're such a profitable group. Like, they're bringing in all this money. Like, why are you going to disband them and make the fans, like, stop coming and stop giving us money because they have to do their service? So a lot of people are calling for them not to have to do their military service, just like the classic artists and athletes. And to this, I say, I understand. Like, I get it. I love BTS. I understand that they do bring in a lot of money. However, I don't think anyone should be served special favor in this situation. Like, I don't think the athletes should have special favor, and I don't think the classic musicians should have special favor. I think they all need to go and do their service. But that's just my opinion. Like, if it's set in law by your country, you should do it, and you shouldn't have to evade it just because you're a very profitable person or you've won some medals or done anything like that. Like, to me, that's silly. So, do I think BTS should be exempted? Not necessarily. Now, if South Korea decides to give them special favor, like, good on them, I guess. Like, great, you don't have to serve. But it just seems very odd in regards to the laws. And of course, I'm not a South Korean citizen. I don't know what goes on with their laws and why certain athletes get special exemption or why certain classical artists get special exemption. Like, I don't know why or how or for what reason, but I do know that it seems biased, it seems unfair, and I feel that all the men by law should be required to do their military service, even if it is BTS. But that's just my opinion. Don't get butthurt about it. So, yeah. The conscription for K-pop stars has been going on since the beginning. Of course, everyone gets heartbroken about their bias going off into the military, worried about their safety and all that stuff. But in reality, it's not that daunting to me, at least. Because it's just, in my view, it's just a security measure in case if North Korea decides to pull some BS. It's a security measure to have the men trained to fight. And I get that in terms of national security. I get it. And everyone should know those skills to fight, even the K-pop stars, because they're not going to be K-pop stars forever. And they should have the skills they need to protect their loved ones and their families and things like that. And to serve if need be, to protect their country. So, yep, that is the end of this Korean military enlistment and what that means for K-pop stars. Thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate all you lovelies, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye. Hi, me again. Real quick, as I was listening back onto the episode, I realized that I did make a mistake for NCT's Mark saying that he was born in the United States. That is false. He was born in Canada, and I would just like to emphasize the fact that Canada does not have a compulsory military service. So even if he was born in the United States, just like with the United States, there's no compulsory military service in Canada, just like the United States. So either way, even if he didn't revoke his Korean citizenship, he wouldn't have had to go into compulsory military service. But since he is a Korean citizen now, he does have to. Okay, that is my little editor's note. And that is all for today. All right, bye, lovelies.